It's happy hour again from Uptown New Orleans at the lovely Collins Hotel on St. Charles Avenue. Hello, I'm Grant Morris. In the next 60 minutes, you'll get to meet just six of the many thousands of fascinating people who live in New Orleans. And you'll get to hear some live music as well. At the end of the show, you might conclude New Orleans is a great city where people love to talk, have fun, and enjoy great music. There's only five people? Oh, shit, really? In the next 60 minutes, you'll get to meet just five of the many thousands where people love to talk, have fun, and enjoy great music. But you probably know that already, so let's get right on with doing nothing. Well, maybe I was counting myself. Did you ever think about that for a minute, Andrew?
I did not.
Thank you. Anyway, let's get right on with doing nothing but enjoying the next 60 minutes of happy hour together. My special guest sitting around the table here at the Collins Hotel, Craig, tell me how to pronounce it.
Giesecke.
I couldn't remember that.
Just
it's a
Craig.
Very...
Craig.
Forget the Giesecke
right,
idea.
Right,
okay,
right.
I'll just read what it says
here.
Craig is a chef at Rouse's Supermarket, but nothing in his background would give you a clue as to why. Craig has been a news reporter for AP, a journalist and broadcaster for 30 years before moving to New Orleans. Okay, this is the best sentence I've probably ever read. And starting a smoked cheese business. What? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I smoke cheese.
Okay. In 2007, Craig and his wife opened a Janita's restaurant on Magazine Street, Uptown, which they closed down about a year ago. Craig writes a regular column about food for the online magazine Uptown Messenger.
Yes.
Craig, that is the best intro I think I've ever written. Thank you for ever wrote that.
I wrote
very
it myself.
Nice.
Thank
very
you
nice.
Very much.
You can leave now.
And around here on the other side of the table, Peggy Sweeney McDonald is an ex Baton Rouge native who lives in Los Angeles. Peggy is both president of Superstar Events LA, where she produces unique red carpet, nonprofit, and corporate events, and the author of a very New Orleans book, Meanwhile, Back at Café Du Monde, a collection of stories about food by notable New Orleanians, including Chef Leah Chase, musician Jeremy Davenport, Chef Matt Murphy, and DJ Davis Rogan, and more. How did DJ Davis Rogan get invited to a swank thing like that? For over 25 years, Peggy has been an actress in film, theater, and commercials, and was most recently associate producer of the acclaimed play addressing human trafficking, Innocent Flesh, at the Zephyr Theater in Hollywood, California. Wow.
Sweet.
This is like, you went off Broadway.
Man, really going off Broadway with the show. This is like Superstar Day here. Leo DeJesus and Andrew Jarman collectively are known as members of a New Zealand band called Vox and the Hound.
Did you just call us a New Zealand band?
We're not a New Zealand
band. Did I say New Zealand?
That's okay. I mean, that sounds...
It says New Orleans right here. Did I really...
Let's
go with
it.
What sort of day am I having here? This is the worst day ever. Okay, Leo is the singer and guitar player, and Andrew is the singer and bass player in Vox and the Hound. Last time you guys were on the show, you were recording an album. That album is called Courage, and it's just out right now. Vox and the Hound are on the road playing it live and promoting it across the country. You can click on the link on our site and see if they're coming to the place near you. If you've never heard Vox and the Hound, stick around. You're in for a very pleasant surprise, and this is a very surprising type album to come out of a band in New Orleans, not New Zealand. One of the ID tags I found in looking for this says Spaghetti Western.
Absolutely.
This music is super cool.
Yeah, we definitely got most of the influence from this stuff from the scores of the Spaghetti Western film.
It's a really, really great album. So stick around. We get to hear some of it live and some of it recorded. And our happy hour troubadour is here.
Hey!
The fabulous Andrew Duhon back from wandering the earth has come back to join us. Have you got a song to play for us today, Andrew?
I can play you a tune.
I'm breaking my neck trying to turn around to see you. On top of everything else. So Andrew, as you know, is our happy hour troubadour who wanders in and out of the show whenever he feels like it. And it apparently felt like it today.
Yeah. I heard there was free gin again.
More free gin. And on piano, the fabulous, charming, talented, and always attractive in his own way, Mitch Foreman. Hi, Mitch. What happened to the piano? Did you just stop playing?
I just ended.
Yeah.
Hey, Mitch. Fabulous, good-looking, talented.
Oh, okay. I wondered what happened. How are you, Mitch? It's been a long time since we've done a show together due to the, you know, I think it's the fault of the Indians or something with that Thanksgiving thing.
I guess so.
Was the Indians too responsible
soon
for Thanksgiving?
I think they were irresponsible.
Or was it the pilgrims that were responsible for that? I'm from New Zealand, so I don't know anything.
Who's to bless and who's to blame?
It's a joint
Craig,
joint
who
effort.
Is it? Really?
I don't really know.
It's a food related.
It's the Christians, whatever. Blame
the Christians
Christians
did it. Blame it on Jesus.
The cheese smokers. Christians and the cheese smokers.
Blame it on Jesus.
Dirty cheese smoker.
Now, we actually have got a cheese smoker here, you know, so before you make any jokes about...
Also turkey.
How about a life-size smoked cheese made... Jesus made out of smoked cheese.
That's I can
Andrew
do that.
Duhon,
yes.
Or something.
Yes.
Smoked Jesus, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You got it.
Now
you got it.
Very good.
What a friend we have
funny.
In Jesus.
But Andrew, that's it. Yeah, you've done enough for a day. That's very good.
Thank you.
Are you a writer? Do you write songs in the band?
Both of us are.
You both write?
He writes a lot more than I do.
But that was a funny line. You could use that.
I will, actually.
Okay. Smoked Cheeses.
Jesus. Oddy, oddy,
oddy. So, Craig.
Yes.
What gave you the idea to move to New Orleans and open a smoked cheese business?
I'm sure
everybody asks you that, right?
I had started this business on the side back in about 2000.
What were you doing? You were a writer up to
that. I was working for the Associated Press in Florida and started smoking this cheese in my backyard on a barbecue trailer, and it was an accident, and I thought,
Okay. Who wants to ask the first question?
I just want to know, would Swiss cheese be considered ultralight because of all the holes?
It actually is one of the greasiest cheeses you could ever hope to smoke.
Really? What about Gouda?
I hope no Swiss cheeses are listening.
I've had smoked Gouda before. That's like standard, right?
Our biggest seller was a smoked Havarti.
I love Havarti.
Which is very good.
I applaud.
Yeah, but come on, let's just go back a step here. Okay, so far we've got the word Florida trailer and smoking cheese.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so let's just take one of those at a time. What part of Florida are we in here?
North Florida.
So it was a meth lab first.
Right. Practically. No, it was...
North Florida, what does that mean? Where is it?
Tallahassee, Florida. About a half an hour south of the Georgia line.
Now, where's your accent from? Because you've got a very southern accent.
I was raised in Texas.
Oh, you're from Texas.
Houston.
I hate to admit
Dallas,
that.
Austin. But
is your accent from
raised
Texas?
Raised in Dallas.
Dallas.
Right.
Is that a Dallas
I
accent, Peggy?
I lived in Houston for 7 years.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
I know. Well, they had Papacitos.
Oh, well, that's right? True. We have those in Dallas,
Mexican, yeah. I think it came to Dallas after it opened in Houston.
You have this sort of charming Southern Belle accent. Where's that from?
I'm originally from Baton Rouge. Well, I was born in Alabama, but was raised in Baton Rouge. But I've been gone from Baton Rouge for like 30 years or
congrats.
A little more.
What part of Alabama?
Well done.
I was born in Birmingham, but my parents were from New Orleans, and I was raised in Baton Rouge, and then I graduated from LSU, went to Houston, went to New York, went to New Orleans here for 6 years, and I've been in LA for 15, so don't try to figure out how old I am.
We've just figured it out.
Yeah. I'm sure
we can all do math.
Yeah, we all just figured it out.
Say the magic words.
A gentleman never acts.
Beautiful.
I don't look that old.
No, you look fabulous. I can't believe you're really 73. That's amazing. You look terrific, Peggy.
I know.
Yeah, really.
All this geriatric
okay, so
assignments.
Back to the trailer. You lived in a trailer in Tallahassee.
No. I had a barbecue trailer.
A barbecue trailer.
And
I'm sorry.
So I started to smoke this cheese and handing it out.
Okay, why would you start to smoke cheese?
I've always liked smoked cheese.
Okay.
You know, smoked Gouda, smoked things you get from Hickory Farm while you're growing up.
So
and things
why
like
not
that.
Smoke my own cheese? Who here has not thought that, right?
Right.
At some point, why not smoke my own cheese?
Why
Andrew
not?
Duhon.
Yep.
Me.
Yeah, I mean,
Leo,
I've never smoked it.
I've never possessed my own cheese, though. So,
well, you've gone to the store and bought a block of cheese, haven't
no,
you?
No, you don't know that.
Okay, you've never been to the store and bought a block of cheese?
I got a question, though. Maybe is there like a prep process for cheese? Is it going to melt in there if you don't prep it a certain way?
Yeah. I have accidentally made a lot of fondue.
Right.
How do you keep it from melting?
You have to watch the temperature very carefully. And
so
I have
cold smoke?
It is cold smoked.
I can't believe
it. 140, 150
Peggy,
degrees.
Thank you for asking that. What does cold smoke mean?
140, 150 degrees, something where.
That's still hot.
Not if you watch it and keep it in just like 30 minutes. And it depends on the cheese as well. Havarti's a soft cheese. It's going to melt in a big hurry. We did Asiago, which is a very hard cheese.
What about Brie? That would not happen, right?
Brie wouldn't happen, but blue cheese smokes very well. Mm. It's ugly as hell when you get it done.
Right.
It's hard to package, but it tastes absolutely beautiful.
I have a question. What's the most beautiful cheese?
The most beautiful cheese?
Yes. And I want to know what the most beautiful cheese is from a smoked cheese expert.
Beautiful in what way?
You said there's an ugly cheese, so I want to know what the most beautiful cheese is.
I would say probably the Havarti.
Okay.
It gets a nice little golden tone to it.
What's that cheese that's a little bit more foolproof on the grill? Like, it's the grillable
okay,
cheese?
Okay, you've
know
grilled
what I'm talking
cheese
about?
Too, then, have you?
Halloumi.
I've
done that.
That stuff's fun.
It's from
love
Crete.
That stuff. Yeah.
You can grill it.
Okay.
That's great
it's
stuff.
It's very good stuff.
Andrew, only recently have I been turned on to this stuff. It's great.
Andrew Duhon, you've been grilling your own cheese.
I'm a bit of a...
Smoking it.
Yeah.
Grilling it.
I like to cook
He's
a little
a
bit. Yeah. Foodie's the word.
Well, what about that jalapeno? What is the pepper jack cheese?
We smoked the pepper jack, and we also smoked a habanero cheese, which sold very well at Langenstein's uptown.
What about aged Gouda?
This is an insane conversation. We're going to go through every type of cheese in the world until we've exhausted all.
Oh, my God. Age
good. So I get to American.
You have a couple of foodies here, exactly. Grant.
Okay. What about Kraft Singles?
A very quick process.
Okay, so you smoke it. You use different types of smoke, I suppose.
No. We always used oak because it's a very gentle flavor.
Uh-huh.
What about pecan?
Pecan would now add every a little
type of,
much.
Now every type of wood. Go.
Pecan, mesquite, maple, cherry, your fruit woods and things
walnut,
like that.
Oak.
Are a little strong. Smoke is all
elm,
you taste.
Pine.
Oh, yeah.
Redwood.
Poplar tree.
Good tree to 2x4.
No.
can you smoke it?
Elm.
Yellow wood.
Yellow wood,
okay. Yellowwood.
We've got to why.
Yellow brick.
So, okay, Craig, what gave you the idea? That's what I'm interested in. What made you think one day? Was it pot smoking or what?
I was trying to get a brisket going on the trailer. Okay, and the wood wouldn't fire. And so I went inside to get a beer and saw a block of cheddar cheese. I saw a block of cheddar in the refrigerator. And so what I did is decided, hey, I've always liked smoked cheese. So I threw this on the back of the smoker, right?
Yes.
And it turned out very, very well. And I started smoking all the cheese I could get my hands on, all the different types. And after about a month of handing this out to friends across the holidays, this was late in the year, right?
Did you wrap it in a little red cellophane to make it cute?
I got a call from the Florida Restaurant Association that says,
cease and desist.
We have a member who wants to buy your cheese. And I thought, well, you can't buy it because it's not commercially produced in a safe environment or anything like that. And so I decided.
Were you wearing like anything on your hair at the time?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. Like a hairnet?
Well, no. But
a beanie?
Cap.
Baseball cap.
Mm. Usual baseball cap.
So you took some precautions.
That's good throughout
right.
Did you wash your hands before you prepared the cheese?
Sometimes.
Okay, anyway, so sorry, I won't ask any more stupid questions. So the Florida Restaurant Association called you. Why wouldn't just the restaurant itself call you and say, hey, dude,
one
what
of the restaurants had heard I'd been smoking this cheese and they wanted to use it.
They can't make their own phone calls, restaurants, so they have to call the food
They didn't know who it was.
Ah.
See? And so I decided I'd smoke this stuff.
Why did you have a trailer anyway? Why didn't you just have a barbecue on your backyard? Like
because it's fun.
But you take it around places? You tow it around?
No.
In case he loses the house.
I can always live in your barbecue.
Yeah.
And okay.
So the restaurant I did
I investigated the cost of building my own commercial smoking operation, and it was much less than I thought. And so in space of a year, I was selling this cheese from Jacksonville, Florida to Houston.
Wow.
That's a success story. Yeah, good question, Peggy. How
did you market it? On the weekends, I would have to go to New Orleans or I would have to go down to St. Augustine or Cedar Key or wherever it happened to be, Mobile, and sell this stuff and do all the demos and things like that. And we'd produce it during the week.
What sort of car were you driving then?
I had a pickup truck at the time. And so we would load the truck full, and we'd drive here.
Do you have a cooler or anything? How do you keep the cheese?
I had a couple of electric coolers, and I had a big igloo cooler.
That's a pretty big operation now. You're getting sort of serious.
Yeah.
And you're still writing. You're a journalist at this point.
Yeah.
You're writing for the AP. What are you writing about?
Cheese running.
Being the broadcast editor, I wrote about everything, sports, politics.
What do you mean the broadcast editor? You're working in radio?
Every radio and TV station has a wire machine, and that's where they get a lot of their news. I was in charge of all of the news on those wire machines in the state of Florida.
That's a pretty big job.
And I also did some food and travel writing on the side for the AP because I had a sailboat, and so I was...
Jeez, you're a living large there.
You're like a Bruce Wayne of cheese.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty interesting.
That's how I got it started.
So you're the guy, when you work on a radio station, you have to, you know, basically out in the hallway somewhere, there's a machine that spits out this news that comes out all the time, and you were the guy who spat the news in the other end before.
I was the guy to bless or blame, right.
Bless or blame, okay.
And
that's a pretty impressive sort of a job. You're actually the person who decides, you're the gatekeeper deciding what's going to be reported. Basically.
Exactly, right. And so I did that until 2004 when... my first wife and I split, and I had a choice. I could stay with the AP, or I could go full-time with the cheese. So I decided to move to New Orleans in 2004.
That really totally makes sense. You got divorced.
I had a cheese company.
And you decided on cheese instead of your... Did you decide between cheese and your wife?
Did
she say it's either the cheese or me?
No, I wound up with the sailboat and this cheese business. And
what did she get? She got the house on the Mercedes.
She got the crackers.
She got the house. She got the beach place.
God almighty, you had a beach place?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I would have married you by now.
You
got
worked
the trailer.
With AP and you had a house on the beach.
Well,
and a boat.
My wife had her own career that was very successful.
What did she do? She
bank robbing.
She was
a stripper.
She was
Peggy, why would you jump to that conclusion?
Peggy, God,
that is so sexist.
It. Man,
that is.
She
would
because
love that
he's
comment.
Handsome.
We get along very well. We really
blow.
Do.
No pun intended.
And,
I'm going to get along well with you too if you still got the beach house on the boat.
No, I don't.
She does.
And the stripper ex-girlfriend.
No, had to get rid of those.
That's not funny. Okay, so what was her career that she did? That was
well, let's see. She started out in a radio newsroom just like I did. She wound up being the chief spokesperson for the Democratic Party in Florida.
Jesus,
and
that is a big deal.
She was a spokesperson for Florida Tourism.
Wow.
For a while. She wrote some speeches for Bill Clinton.
Really?
So
did she write the famous line? I did not have sexual.
No, she had nothing to do with that. But she had her own career. So between the two of us, so we did okay.
No kidding! Wow, you were like a power couple.
We were.
What went so wrong? Why did you split up?
Well, I left.
Really?
Right.
Jesus Christ.
You chose the cheese.
No, Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Thank you.
That's pretty cheesy.
Wow.
What
okay.
a friend we have.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Have you heard all these before?
Yes, I have.
I'm sorry.
This is really old.
Yeah, sorry about that. Well, we'll come up with something new. Okay, listen, let's just move along one step at a time here. Boys from Vox and the Hound, one of New Zealand's greatest bands, right?
Definitely.
I want you guys to hear some music from Vox and the Hound. Andrew Duhon, are you familiar with these guys?
Yeah, I am.
I've never heard of them.
Peggy, wait till you hear this.
You're going to just lie about it?
Yeah,
you live
yeah.
it.
What are you, like 12?
I am 12 years old.
Have you ever seen Peggy's book?
No.
Okay, here's your chance
to
get
by my bed.
Bed.
It's on my nightstand.
So I want you to play something because I want everyone to hear this. We're going to try and get pack a bit of music into the show today.
Right.
I want to hear this, and I want to play a recorded song off the record as well.
Oh, you do? Okay.
And I want Andrew to play as well, and Mitch is going to play. So we're going to pack, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about still. So we haven't even got onto the book, Peggy.
And I'm the only girl here.
You're the only girl here.
You have to give me some time.
Okay. There's plenty of time. We've got miles to go.
We need to talk more food, right?
So, yeah, let's talk food.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And bars.
Get back to food.
Okay, well, while you're looking, Andrew, what have you lost in the bag?
He's looking for an egg shaker. Speaking of food, he's looking for an egg shaker.
Man, nice jam
egg shaker.
Sport,
okay.
Man.
So tell us a little bit about the record, because you've been making this for a couple of years now.
Well, yeah, technically, I mean, we've been writing it for a couple of years. We recorded it back in February, so we've been working on this release for exactly 9 months now. And we are happy with the results we've gotten from both the record and the promotion of it. So, I don't know. We're hoping it'll be a success.
It deserves
because we like it.
It deserves to be a success. It's an extraordinarily great album. Have you heard it, Andrew?
I have not heard the record, no.
It's shockingly good.
Well, it's releasing tomorrow. So.
Well, today. Or now.
When's
or yesterday.
When is the CD release?
The CD release is actually, as you're listening to this, it's released. Because
I mean the party. Like, when's the show?
Oh.
It's
tonight.
It's yeah, November 30th.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Which sweet.
So
tomorrow.
We're recording this on the 29th, are we? Is
where's
that today?
Today is the 29th.
Okay.
So if you're hearing this on Friday, which is possible, you can hear this the day after. In fact, tonight you'll be able to hear it. So
awesome. Tomorrow.
If you're listening to this on Friday, the 30th of November, the party is at?
A House of Blues Parish Room.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Doors are at 9. First man starts at 10.
Is it free?
It is not. It's $10 a ticket.
Okay.
No, free. It's not free.
It's not. It's cheap. Free. It's cheap for the House of Blues.
That's cheap. Yeah, that is cheap.
Gotta love it.
Okay,
House
so
Blues.
What do you
that's
want?
My first show was here in New Orleans.
Really?
House of Blues.
What were you doing?
A book show?
Tap dancing.
Meanwhile, back at Cafe DuMont. Dot. It was a live show before it was a book.
And soon to be a musical.
Were there, oh, yeah, yeah.
And,
were there any strippers?
TV show and a movie and a documentary.
And strippers.
Wow. Okay, let's get on to that.
No, my wife
Broadway
was not
show.
There.
Let's come back and talk about Meanwhile, back at Cafe DuMont. But first of all, Courage is the name of the album.
Courage is the name of the album. For no particular reason, no.
Yeah, why did you call that? I noticed.
Well,
that
as we said before, it derived a lot of influence from the spaghetti western films. And if you've watched any spaghetti western film, you've almost watched them all. And it's always about this guy who comes in and finds the courage to do what's necessary, even though it's not necessarily his deal to deal with.
But nobody talks.
It's all just
It's all in the eye.
Implied courage.
We thought about calling it, but nobody would remember that.
What song are you going to play?
We're going to play a song called Fake It. Andrew wrote this one, and it's kind of turned into our little acoustic jam whenever someone asks for that.
Jam.
Okay.
And toast.
All right. One, two, three, four.
My saving grace, she has this face my eyes have yet to see. My heart will go, I know my eyes will snow. Once again, I'll be swept off my feet. And maybe I think to myself, my heart isn't ready yet. See, my last saving grace, she ran out of this place with her hands swinging over her head. Oh no. I said, Jesus, can you tell me what? Can you tell me what is best for me? Said, I couldn't tell you, son. You must be crazy or something. I've been dead since the first century.
Nice.
We're going to stop now because of the guitar.
What happened to the guitar?
I don't know.
That was one of the great lyrics of all time, Mr. Duhon, wasn't it?
You agree? I dug it. Yeah, that was great.
That was very funny.
Who are your influences? I see, I hear a lot of Guy Clark. I hear some Billy Joe Shaver. I hear some Steve Frumholz in there.
I don't know if I've ever heard of any of those guys.
I have no idea. Steve Frumholz,
he wasn't in Mad Magazine?
No. It,
you want to keep going? You want to finish it? Or is it really bad?
It's what kind happened? Of bluegrassy, right?
Bluegrass.
Being a Texas boy,
kind of, right?
I would know these things.
Would you call that bluegrass?
I think you got to hear them plugged in. You know, you would think different influences if you heard them plugged in.
Very possible.
Oh,
brother.
Very possible.
Where out there.
This is super cool.
Doesn't that kind of remind you of
this is super cool because this is the first time that I get to hear you guys not plugged in. This is fun.
Yeah. It would be slightly more fun if
the guitar was tuned. Yeah.
This is for any listeners. This is one of the shittiest guitars I've ever had the pleasure to play.
What is it? Just in case anyone wants to buy one like that.
I believe it's $150.
It's a Shittoscraster.
It's a Delore. I don't know.
Why did you? Sure why do you still own it? Then?
Why did you bring it today?
It's the only one I had.
Yeah. Peggy, you are a critic.
Oh, look, I got it.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Where are we going from?
Where were we?
I couldn't tell you, son.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Said I couldn't tell you, son. You must be crazy or something. I've been dead since the first century. Times they've changed, people they've changed, son, you'll change some too. He said, go out and have some fun. I said, I don't know if I can have some fun. He said, just fake it through. Oh,
I go to Jesus. I said, Jesus, can you tell me what? Can you tell me what is best for me? Can you tell me what is best for me? Can you tell me what is best for me? Can you tell me what is best for me?
Delightful.
That's nice.
My goodness.
Love it.
That is amazing.
How long have
that
you been singing together?
2 years.
Will you be appearing in Austin?
Yes. Actually, soon.
We're playing in Austin at the Castle on December 7th.
This will go over particularly well in Austin.
We've had good times in Austin. Texas in general seems to like us.
I couldn't imagine a city in America or anywhere in the world that wouldn't like that, frankly. Tell you the truth. That's just good music.
That's like smoke to Vardy.
I'm cuter than smoke to Vardy. Isn't that right, Andrew?
I agree. I think there's nothing more undeniably universally accepted than great harmonies, and you guys got that going on.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And we'll listen to something off the record as well. This show is going to be about 4 hours long by the time we get through all the subjects we have to get to.
The four-parter.
The album is called, I mean, if you've had enough right now and you're leaving us, the album is called Courage, and it's available wherever good downloads are sold, I suppose, is it?
Absolutely. Spotify, iTunes, our website.
Do you get paid if we listen to it on Spotify?
I've heard a recent thing. We actually do get paid.
Sweet.
It takes
update.
20 years.
It takes about, it takes 6 million listens to equal one album sale.
Almost there.
Almost there.
Oh my God.
Baby steps.
Okay, so I know, is that a joke or is that
is absolutely true. Okay, so why, I don't know the exact number.
Okay, so why wouldn't you just listen to it yourself?
Six million times.
I mean, how?
Who's got the time?
For one record sale?
Who's got the time?
For one, but this, that's.
What's the, yeah.
For 6 million listens, you get like $8?
10, I believe, yeah.
$10. For 6 million listeners.
6 million.
Who negotiated that for the musicians?
Clearly not anybody on our side.
No.
Wait, you're 6 million, you get $6?
You get $10 for 6 million listeners. That's almost impossible to believe.
It is. I find it very difficult to believe.
But I wonder if a listener.
It's basically radio. I mean, what do you get paid for radio?
Yeah, what do you get paid for a spin on radio? Much. Not that much either, actually.
Or a book. Sales.
Book sales. What do you get when you sell a book?
It's more than that.
I'm so green to this book business.
Thank you for bringing up the book.
What do you get when you sell 6 million books? $10?
Yeah, right.
And people wonder why I left journalism.
Is that why? You had the boat and the house by the beach and the successful, good-looking wife. Was she good-looking as well on top of everything?
Yes.
I can't understand what went so wrong.
In fact, she is better looking now than she was the day I married her.
Since she left you. She looks better because she's not standing next to you. That's why, right?
She's over there and I'm over here.
Wow, what a strange story. Anyway, Peggy, let's get on to you, shall we? Let's get on to this book.
It's always about me.
It's all about you. The book is called Meanwhile Back at Café Du Monde. It's a big coffee table.
Dot, dot, dot.
I'm sorry.
Meanwhile Back at Café Du Monde.
Why don't you say the word ellipsis instead of dot, dot, dot?
Because I like the dot, dot, dot.
Do you actually say dot, dot, dot?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Do you? Do you use other punctuation?
Meanwhile Back at
Café
Du Monde. Dot, dot, dot. Life stories about food. So it was, you know, I was an actress turned event producer, and when the economy crashed, I was back for Thanksgiving.
In 1929?
Shut up. Oh. 3 years ago.
Oh,
okay. You know, they're bad. They're bad. Okay, good.
That's
Grant has to be
a about history, at least.
Well, you know, actually, it's been hitting the Amazon food and wine history column.
Wait, I just want to know which crash are you talking about?
3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
You know, when things, business, all the corporate meeting events went away.
Yes.
And I was home crying to my mother that I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And my girlfriend came down. She was doing a movie in Shreveport. And she came down to Baton Rouge and stood in my mom's kitchen and told me the coconut pie and a bottle of wine story in here, in this book. And I said, tell my mom, tell my cousin, tell my niece. And I said, this is like the vagina monologues, but food stories. And so I created my own event, and I couldn't rent a theater.
I'm just
going to
leave that alone right now.
I was waiting for the first person to make a comment, but nobody.
That comment is just
my only comment was wordless.
A large, slow-moving target.
You all got really quiet. Yeah, it's interesting, especially me being the only female here. Well, so
the only vagina at the table.
That's right. So, you know, I decided to create my own event. And since it was about food, I thought I'd do it at restaurants because you got to eat and drink. So I found restaurants that wanted.
So what is the event?
Was
the event people talking about?
So the event,
you
come. It's like a reality dinner theater is what I call it. I'd invite 8 to 10 people to be headliners and share a 5 to 7 minute life story about food. I'd have an MC. First show here in New Orleans. It started in Baton Rouge, outside of Baton Rouge, the Myrtles Plantation. And then I did one.
That's in St. Francis.
And then I did one in Baton Rouge. I think so. But my girlfriend owns it, and she said, you know, you could do it here. We could do a cocktail party on the patio, and we could clear out the antiques and do it inside for 60 people. So that was the first show. And then the first New Orleans show was at House of Blues. And the first New Orleans show had Miss Leah Chase, Jeremy Davenport, Matt Murphy, Davis Rogan, Jean Vadrine.
So people get up and they tell a story about, is it, what kind of a story?
Well, first you come up and the MC would bring you up and we introduce everybody. If you were a food, what would you be and why?
If you were a food, what would you be and why?
I would be gourmet chocolate. I come in a gold box. It's shiny with the ribbon on top. Sometimes I'm sweet, sometimes I'm bitter, sometimes nutty, or a tasty combination, but always a treat.
I feel like you have that.
Wow, memorized. Yeah. You've
got I've been on the book tour. I've told that story.
One of the great bullshitters of our time, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you ever change it up and say something else, like I'd like to be a rotten fish or something like that?
No, I don't, because, you know, banana? I like,
who
to
said
be,
that? Who
I
said
like
banana?
Being a gourmet chocolate. What would you be, Grant?
What would I be if I was a food? I don't know. That's a good question. Probably
smoked blue cheese.
Yes. Thank you.
Delicious,
Leo.
But ugly as hell.
I noticed that your name is DeJesus as well, and the song's about Jesus.
I wrote it.
He wrote it.
Yeah, but there was not. That was just.
Well, it's actually. It's about Jesus.
Jesus.
That's right.
I've been dead since the first.
Y'all just aren't going to leave this alone, are you?
Is there a cheese story in the book? There's 67 stories, it says.
67. So, you know what? Let me tell you. This is funny. Jeremy Davenport was in the show, and so he said he would be, when I was gathering all the material for the book, he said he wanted to be a Twinkie, sweet and nasty. And I said, we can't use Twinkie. I don't want to be sued by Hostess. So I made him. So we changed it to a cream donut, and this week, guess what happened?
Twinkie goes out of business.
No more Twinkie. So it could have been Twinkie. But so anyway, people would come and share these stories, and it snowballed. It got bigger. They're back. It got bigger and sweeter. I say the beignet got bigger and sweeter. We did 32 shows from Louisiana, Mississippi, and California, where I live now. And I got a book deal to do
a coffee
table book.
So this has nothing to do with Café Du Monde at all.
Actually,
so far I haven't heard the words.
I called Café Du Monde and I said, I have this idea and the working title. This is my, the Meanwhile Back at Café Du Monde is my story. And it's all about, no matter where I live, no matter what's going on in my life, I always end up back at Café Du Monde taking life one beignet at a time. And I say, you know what you're ordering, you know it's open, you know you can afford it, you know it's delicious, and you know you're with good friends and family, and for that hour, life is really wonderful. And really,
God, you should be working for Café Du Monde at this
point,
are you?
Well, they actually they wrote the foreword. Karen Benrood from the family wrote the foreword, and they gave me their history and vintage pictures because it's their 150th anniversary this year, which is so perfect.
You've got the green and white awning on the top of your book.
Yes, and beignets.
It's got the great big words Café Du Monde on here. I mean, it's like an advertisement.
Well, in the right font.
It is in the right font. Well, the thing is, what's been great about, I say it's a metaphor. Well, my husband said that one night. It's really a metaphor. Everybody has a Café Du Monde. You probably have your favorite Café Du Monde in Tallahassee, right?
No.
Yeah.
there's nothing good in Tallahassee.
Whataburger.
Whataburger. Well,
any Whataburger on the highway is my spot.
Everybody has a place that when they go back to their hometown, they have to go eat there. It's their place.
Do you really think that Café Du Monde has got the greatest food in New Orleans? That's the place that you
when you go, well, no matter where I live, and I've lived all over, I always end up back there.
It's a culinary icon.
Yeah,
It doesn't have to be a special occasion because it's cheap, but every time you go, it just happens to be because it's...
And you're usually talking about food.
Because you're drunk.
A touchstone.
Basically, where you're from Iowa.
And you can go at any time, and you're going to have fun for that. You're going to eat beignets and drink great coffee. And
you'll feel
listen
special.
To music, and you're going to have a good time. So that was kind of the premise, but now I am in the book world, and it's bizarre.
So you've never been an author or on a book tour like this before. You've been an actress.
No, and I put together, I was really naive. I got this book deal, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do this coffee table book. Woo! And then, I signed the contract with Pelican Publishing, and then they sent me this, link saying, here's how you have to submit your material. And I freaked. I thought I was going to throw up when I read it.
Did you really think you're going to throw up?
I panicked. I said, how can I do this? I don't know what the frick I'm doing. I mean, I've never done this. Oh, my God. Frick. Indexing and pictures
had to
be DPI and this big. And I'm like, oh my God, what? I can't do this. And I freaked. And my husband said, you just take it a day at a time.
What does your husband do? He's
a stockbroker. He's a New Yorker.
Oh, he's no fun at all.
Yeah, well, I dragged his butt down here from New York. He came kicking and screaming. And then he loved New Orleans. And then I decided I needed to move to L.A. And he's like, you're out of your mind. Go by yourself. And so I was out there for a year. And finally he came. Yeah. Finally he moved there. And so we've been there. But I came back and started the show here because I had the idea when I was here.
Yes.
And then I started it here. So now I'm, where would you start a book tour for a book like this?
So this is, you're at the very beginning of the book tour.
Well, it launched September 21st. So I'm still on the, I'm going to Natchez and Jackson tomorrow, and I just did the Literary Words of Music, the Faulkner Society.
So you haven't been doing this long enough to be asked the same stupid questions all the time. You're not sick of it
I'm
yet.
Really new. I'm green. Like, I go to other writers at this, literary Andrew, conference and say, teach me, because I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm having a blast.
It seems to me that there's something to be said for being a dumbass in a new industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you learn so much, and you see it with a... a whole new eye, and it's a whole new world. The same thing happened to me with going from journalism to the food industry. You just, Jesus.
And now you're a chef.
Well,
right?
On paper. But turkey smoker.
But still, you go, I'm still learning so much, so you can't get too full of yourself.
Well, my husband and my mother would probably beg to differ.
They think you've
and some
got
of my friends, you know.
I would imagine.
My web designer calls me Diva Delicious. He thinks
Diva
I'm
Delicious. Diva Delicious. Name. That's
He's
a good
like,
name for
Diva
a stripper.
Delicious.
It's true.
Right?
Well, wait, were you guys married?
Things don't work
Craig?
Out.
Is that why you said stripper so quick?
Yo.
It all comes together now.
Yeah. So anyway, you should be in my show. You're a cheesemaker. We don't have any big cheese stories.
Blessed
there,
are the
so.
Cheesemakers. Is that where
the
we're
next,
going?
We can change that in
the
your
next
book.
Oh, absolutely. There'll be another edition soon, I'm sure.
Really? You're going to have a second edition?
Well, I've done a bunch of shows in California. So the next show, the next book would be, I would think, the California monologue.
What about a meanwhile back at In-N-Out Burger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
what about
protein style?
What about
right?
an alcohol one?
Meanwhile back at the Pat O'Brien's?
Well, yeah. Well, you could do one about, you know, everyone's got drug stories. You know,
meanwhile, back at the gutter.
Meanwhile, back at my drug dealers.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back in the back room. Everyone's got a story about those horror stories about that night they took too many drugs and this happened and that happened and I woke up somewhere. You could
Absolutely.
Do that.
I would read that
well,
book.
That'd
be a great book.
Yeah, I'd totally check that out. Yeah.
Meanwhile,
well,
back in someone else's who I don't know's bathroom.
There's so many. Meanwhile, back at Valentine's
But not too
Valentine's
long. You know the fees.
Think of the stories for that.
What's that?
Meanwhile, back at Mardi Gras. I mean, there
dot,
you could
dot,
go
dot.
On. Dot,
yeah.
dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
Ellipsis.
Ellipsis.
Ellipsis. Or also works. That also works.
Period. Hey, listen, I'm going to get Mitch Forman to play a song next, and then we're going to come back and have Andrew Duhon play his new song. So we've got a lot to do. And then what do we have to talk about after that? Anything?
The book.
The book. Oh, yeah.
Our sex
always
lives.
Always about me, Grant.
Sex lives. Oh, that's interesting. You have an interesting sex life, Andrew John?
No.
Well, if this
I'm
works,
sick of hearing about it. So if we're going to talk about that, I'm leaving.
We drove back from Baton Rouge together and our
It's only 90 minutes.
19 minutes?
90. Isn't
90,
it?
90, yes.
Yeah.
90 is closer.
To Baton Rouge?
It feels longer when
you,
someone's
minutes.
Telling you stories about
Are
their sex life, I would imagine.
I mean, Baton Rouge?
No, we played in Baton Rouge last night.
Oh,
anyway,
where did you play?
Where at?
Where did we play? We played at the Varsity.
Fun.
It was the shittiest showcase, by the way.
Really?
Fun.
What was
wrong? Near LSU.
Yeah,
I
don't.
Graduated
what
from
was
here.
Wrong with
Love
it?
Love LSU.
It was something called an. I didn't know what the showcase was. It was called RLR Showcase. Mm. I don't know what the acronym was standing for.
Hmm. What did it end up being?
We were opening, which is fine. I don't care about that. But
puppet show.
The three bands after us were puppets.
Puppet
no,
show.
They were.
It's crazy.
They were screamo bands. I don't know if you know what screamo is. That was rough.
What is not? It's not like us.
Not very much like
they
us.
They scream?
They scream a lot.
And they mow.
And
well, that's interesting. So it was a strange lineup.
Yeah.
It
which
was,
you didn't fit in.
In which we did not fit
so
in.
So people thought you were just a waste of time losers. And
yeah.
They didn't want to hear that crap.
Which they were right, but which we didn't want to hear that.
Absolutely true.
How
musicians.
Interesting. Well, that was a bad piece of booking by somebody there at the Varsity.
That's our drummer.
No, okay. That was Austin, I think.
Mitch Forman.
Yes, sir.
After that kind of an introduction, what are you thinking of playing today?
I'm trying to think of something that fits with cheese and ellipses and...
Yeah, something to do with punctuation and dairy
courage.
What was that?
Dairy products, courage, and punctuation.
The courage to make punctuated dairy products.
Well, so I do have the courage to play an old song written by Herbie Hancock. It's called Drifting.
Okay.
With an apostrophe. Yeah, what is that?
It's ellipsis.
An apostrophe. Drifting.
Oh, with the G missing, so there's an apostrophe where the G should be. Mm.
Exactly.
There we are.
By Herbie Hancock. By Herbie Hancock.
Dot, dot, dot.
Drifting.
Yes. Drifting.
Hurrah. Hurrah.
Very nice. Now, have you ever played that in Herbie Hancock's presence, Mitch?
No. I don't think he's... I think it was off his first record back in a long time ago. He's probably never played it in his presence.
Where is Mitch?
Mitch is in another world. Another universe.
How many times, Peggy? Another dimension.
Everybody wants to know where Mitch is. We haven't got room for a grand piano in this little tiny room here, so we have to shove him next door.
Is he in this building?
Is he in this building? You've only got five more questions. I wouldn't blow it on a stupid one like that. Is he
in the Twilight Zone?
Start off with it. Okay. Now, since we met last time, Andrew Duhon was here, who's our happy hour troubadour, he wandered in and his guitar got broken by, was it Southwest Airlines?
Yeah, you got it.
Busted, and now I see it's still taped up, and now it has someone signed it or something.
You're right. I was at a songwriter festival in on the Redneck Riviera. You know where that is?
Down in Destin.
Yeah, think.
Yeah.
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 Down by where Craig's from.
What it,
exactly.
Yeah, it's like 3 or 4 years into like going to this festival, and just like a whole bunch of old people go to this. I'm sorry, older songwriters. Mm. And
I'm quite sure what you're getting at. We're looking at
from Nashville,
when you said
it just
that.
Turns out. It turns into this this like reunion of old timers, and I thought it wasn't really for me at first, and then I realized if you just find the oldest sect of songwriters that hang out with each other, and you follow them until about 3 a.m. and you go hang out with them, and they start passing around the guitar, you know, that's when
the
good stuff and the drugs
and the smoked
well,
cheese,
yeah.
The smoked cheese
and the smoked gouda, that's when it gets gouda. So, yeah, I met this guy, Bob Tobin, who I'm telling you, I've never heard a guy sing this way, but I've heard it on recordings like Sunhouse. Like the way that you can hear his soul bubbling up when he sings.
Wow.
This guy had that going on.
So you let him write on your guitar?
Yeah.
That's cool. And does it come off?
Can he let me write on his, too. We were both the first people who...
Drunk.
No. Actually, we were not that drunk. This was the next day.
Wow.
So he comes up to me and he's like, man, I heard your tune and I wanted to ask you to write on my, sign my guitar. And
okay,
I was going to ask you to do that, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what does it make you feel when someone that great tells you you're great?
It's pretty cool.
That must be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are going to be in for a treat, too. Because you've never heard Andrew play either, Peggy or Craig, right?
I feel like this is a pretty simple, straightforward song that percussion and any hoops and hollers that may ensue might be kind of cool.
Is this a new song that you've been working on?
No, it's it is a new song, but I put it on the record, so it's about a month old.
Okay, wow, that's pretty new, I would say.
And it's
what's it called?
It's called Feeling Low Down.
Okay.
And
it's about
love.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean I tend to write a lot of
a tough
earnest,
audience, yeah.
I tend to write a lot of earnest heartfelt stuff, but this one is not one of them. This is like about someone else's heartbreak, which when you write it from a third person, the heartbreak doesn't seem nearly as bad.
It seems stupid.
Yeah, even. Stupid. Yeah. So this song's stupid. this is a stupid song.
Go buy a BB King record and shut the hell up.
Yeah, that's right. So it goes like this. 1, 2, I'm laughing at you, blue, yeah. Yeah, well, that heartache and pain, ain't it a slippery slope? I caught you fashioning a noose down at the end of your rope, feeling low down. Babe, well, I can't complain. You got your cup half empty and you waiting on a hurricane, yeah. Turns out that love that he sold you, it was one big lie that could never fit between his hello and his goodbye, left you low down. Sometimes it happens that way, yeah. You got your cup half empty and you waiting on a hurricane. Yeah, sometimes we all get low down, feeling bad and broke down. It's a low down shame, yeah. And the road just start to go down. Leaves you feeling low down. Turn around, go back the other way. Me, I heard from Bobby. Bobby heard from Sue. And Sue, she heard from Sarah. Said she heard it from you. You was low down. Well, me, well, I can't complain. No, I just write a new sad song. Every time it rains, something for the pain. You got your cup half empty and you waiting on a hurricane, yeah. Oh, I heard you was low down, and that's a low down shame, yeah. You got your heart on your sleeve, well, honey, put that thing away low.
That's our happy hour troubadour.
I hear
Andrew
Jesse
Duhon.
Winchester.
Don't know him.
Are you kidding?
You hear Andrew Duhon, actually.
Andrew Duhon. This is the greatest show I think we've ever done.
I knew the other three guys that you said for them. I knew those guys.
Jesse Winchester. Go get some Jesse Winchester, and you will find yourself in what he's doing.
He'll discover you're a copycat.
Yeah, he's an old dude now, but...
Yeah.
Older.
Maybe you hung out with him.
What was the name of the song again?
That one's called Feeling Low Down.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
And it's off Andrew's yet-to-be-named album, which is coming out at the beginning of next year.
You know, I think I'm going to come up with it today.
Today's the day.
Exclusive.
Do you want to try it out on us?
No way, you guys can't hear that. I think I'm going to call it Moorings.
Okay.
How do you spell that?
Right, Graham, our producer.
It's kind of like a title track thing, but the song is called The Moorings, but just like... I think the album is called Moorings.
And you have a titular track, which I always love to say. Titular track. Yeah.
Titular track, that's a nice... So that song is very beautiful.
I think, never mind. New, it's called Titular.
Yes, sir!
That song is about slipping your moorings, about drifting away.
Yeah, the song I love you, but you've loved me well, but I'm leaving.
Right.
Sort of.
That's a very beautiful song.
Gee, how familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go. You've
been there,
Craig.
Huh?
You've lived there.
I have been there.
Stripper. Craig, you must really.
I got a song. I think you might want to listen to 600 million times on Spotify.
Mm-hmm. And you make $8 out of it if things work out right.
That's at least $100.
So, Craig, you must really hate journalism if you.
No, I do not.
You're a chef at Rouse's.
Well, yeah, I'm a
all
chef.
All chefs at Rouse's hate journalism.
You could be sitting at
home now.
You could be sitting around, you know, drinking whiskey, writing journalism or whatever, you know.
And I'd be
shooting
starving.
It out. You'd be starving?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that you were a successful journalist.
Sell your boat.
I was.
You were, right.
But it's not anything I could do now.
Why?
It's the climb is too steep and too fast. I'm 58 years old.
You've been a success story.
I thought you were 72.
I have, but...
So why wouldn't someone... Don't people know who you are in the business?
No,
and you're the guy who worked at AP for 30 years? Why wouldn't you
they
want to
do,
go back
but that
to
was that was 8 years ago, and 8 years ago is forever in this business.
Well, in what sense? The news doesn't seem to have changed.
He's recreating himself, Grant, as a cheese man.
The cheese,
thank
okay?
You very
he's got
much.
The cheese.
I recreated
okay.
myself.
He's got
as
the cheese.
Of the cheese.
Yeah, but do you like cooking at Rouse's?
It does for now.
But is it nice?
It
is it a good job?
Bills.
Is it fun?
It's fun.
It is?
Yeah.
Are there attractive women there?
A few, yes.
Are you still there single now? Are you?
No, I have remarried.
Kim.
Multiple times.
6 years ago, 7 years ago.
So how long were you single for in between?
I was never really single.
Wow. That's why you left.
How'd you pull that off?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Wow.
That's why you left, isn't it?
I'm 58 years old now, and I haven't really been single since I was 24.
Now, that's not, what is that, 68?
I dated a girl like you.
In what sense?
She
baseball cap. What do you mean?
It's the ponytail.
So you met someone else while you were still married, and that's why you left.
I'm a low-down, dirty SOB.
We thought it was cheese, and it turned out to be another woman.
Another woman.
Well, that was part of it, yes.
Once a cheeser, always a cheeser.
Right.
You can't. You haven't heard that one. Tell me you haven't heard that one.
I am one of them low-down bastards that nobody can
tell. Do you have one of those cheese hats that people wear up in...
No, I do not. I do not. And I will never have one of them.
Any self-respecting cheese maker does not have a cheese hat.
No.
Once a cheeser, always a cheeser. I think that's the best line of the day, Andrew, so far. Oh, Leo, that was yours? Very good.
Sorry.
Very good.
That's why you're a songwriter.
What about mine?
That's funny.
What about cheeses?
Cheeses was good,
too.
It's like
you forgot about cheeses.
No, but...
How can you forget about
cheeses? It's like you don't even remember.
It's like... Everything we've like gone
through. These guys are from New Zealand. They don't know.
After all.
So, do you love working at Rouse's?
Yeah.
Is what you're
saying.
Well, it's great.
It'll do for now.
Are you the guy who makes the food in that little restaurant there uptown on Chapatula Street, in that new little restaurant?
I had been at Chapatula, so I'm up on Carrollton now.
Yeah.
And it's been rebuilt the same way that they have it down on Barone downtown.
Do they have a little restaurant-y like thing in
yeah,
there?
Yeah, no.
So you're cooking the stuff. So when I go in there and I'm looking at the stuff in the... And the
when you go to a chef case
hot.
With all the fancy looking food,
the deli.
I'm one area. Of the guys who does all the fancy looking food.
So they keep you in
the
back.
Chef case.
So what's your favorite thing? The in the fancy food.
Macaroni.
You can get in the book.
It would be probably the
smoked turkey.
Probably, funny you say that. It's the turkey.
Finally, somebody said something funny on this show.
The turkey roulade.
Turkey roll out.
Yeah, you
okay.
Butterfly a turkey breast, and then you roll cranberries and dressing in it.
Wow.
So
you're turning me on.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. You know, Trader Joe's used to have something like that.
Trader Joe. I need to ask you this. How do you like living in Southern California?
I love Trader Joe's.
Southern California.
Your current wife?
Yes.
Okay.
She's from Southern California. She's from Escondido.
Okay.
And I would love to go back there, or part of me would love to go over there.
So could you give me a ride?
I'll let you know when I go. But I would love to go to that part of the world and see food the same way we see food in New Orleans.
You don't see food there. Let me tell you, somebody just asked me on another show, what's your favorite restaurant in L.A.? And I looked at him, I said, my favorite little divey Mexican restaurant, my favorite little diner on the corner. You don't, there's not like, we're going out to dinner, let's go to Commander's, let's go to Emeralds. You know, you don't. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Matt Murphy's to have his sit at his bar and have his great potato soup at Irish House. You don't have that like instant, you know, reaction. You just say, what do you want to, I don't know. There's some really good restaurants out there, but they're expensive and you just don't get the quality and the service. I probably shouldn't be saying this since I live out there, but there's not something that I'm jonesing for, you know?
It's not a day-to-day thing the way
no,
it is here.
You know, when I'm back in L.A., my husband and I just eat in a lot because I'm going to come here and eat for 3 months. You know,
so
I mean,
no,
really.
So there's no decent restaurants out there, is what you're saying.
Okay, but they're not it's something not like that you like. I mean, here you have so many choices. Like last night I was at Three Muses listening to Davis Rogan and his band, and the small plates at that restaurant, I was like, this is amazing and reasonable and delicious. And
it's very
every
hard
time
to go
you
out
go
in New Orleans
somewhere,
and not have
it's
a good meal.
Amazing, yeah. You know, it's delicious. And you're like, oh my God, I just had the best meal. You don't have that in L.A. You really don't have that.
Too many skinny people.
Yeah, they don't eat.
I yeah, see opportunity.
So, Craig, do you think you could go out there and open a restaurant? Is that what you're saying?
I have no clue. I don't know it well enough.
What's your plan next to do here after you get out of Rouse's?
We have a friend who is looking for another location here in town, and he wants us to run his kitchen. The issue is, where will the location be?
Let me ask you another question. Do you have bifocals that go like longitudinally or something?
I broke these glasses about a year ago, and I haven't had insurance to replace them.
How can you look through that?
Doesn't pay that well.
I don't see it this up close.
Sell your boat.
Wow. It's a strange looking thing. If you're looking at your glasses, you can see there's got a crack right down the middle.
Yes. I have a vertical like crack down my the right lens. Yeah.
Folks, if you can imagine this, he's got a crack on the...
I do have a vertical crack.
Right. Okay, things are picking up. So you're going to run someone else's kitchen if the location's right?
Yes.
Meaning if there's parking or something?
We have a menu that has done very well. It's been reviewed well in the Gambit and in a few other places.
Okay.
And we would like to do that again and expand on it, but it's just a question of finding the right opportunity.
So that's the food that you sold at Janita's when you
Janita's.
That was like a, what sort of food, how do you describe it?
Upscale bar food, very upscale bar food. We do a lot of duck, we do a lot of lamb.
I like upscale bar food. It takes what you're comfortable with and makes it actually very, very good.
We had run the kitchen at the Avenue Pub for a couple of years. And then
they
we
have
moved.
Delicious curly fries.
Well.
Upscale.
We were.
Upscale curly fries, I'm sorry.
You can charge people out the rear end.
Yin yang.
Can you?
If they've had a vertical crack, if you will.
Bar food, if it's good enough and if it matches the quality of any decent restaurant in town.
Let's take a quick listen to one of the songs off Courage, because I did promise everybody we would hear something.
Yes, please.
And then we have to really get out of here in a moment. So which song would you think typifies the album, like says something about the album?
I would say definitely the opening track, Madeline Kahn. It's got the most sort of one of the, you know, more stronger on the spaghetti western style. And, you know, we opened the record with it for a reason. So,
Chris, we got that ready to go?
Thank you. what the wedding brought to me. This number wasn't meant to write an ember from the outside. Oh, hide your little eyes, sit and watch it die. Round and round we go. Oh, 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 oh. With all the children inside, so many children inside. Oh, 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 oh.
Madeline Kahn.
Madeline Kahn.
Off the album Courage.
Yes.
The band is Vox and the Hound, V-O-X and the Hound. Hound.
Yes.
From Hound. New Orleans.
Not New Zealand.
And not New Zealand. The record's out now. Wherever you're listening to this, whatever day you're listening to this, the That's record is available. True. And click on the link on our site and see if the band is coming to a site near you.
I've got to say that I'm honored to be here. Y'all have a lot of talent here. You really do.
Oh, you're absolutely right about
that. That was a great
right
track.
That.
Really dug that, guys. Oh,
that was really great. Thank you so much for joining us, you guys. That album is fantastic. It really
Thank
is.
Thank you so much, Greg.
It hasn't been a waste of time at all, like you were thinking.
Like, no. Like our parents were thinking.
Like your parents were thinking. No, it really is awesome. Congratulations on a really, really great record.
Thank you so much.
We wish you all the best for it, and we hope to see you back here again soon.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Always a pleasure.
Leo DeJesus and Andrew Jarman joined us today on Happy Hour from Vox and the Hound. Peggy Sweeney McDonald, the author of Meanwhile, back at Cafe Du Monde.
Dot, dot, dot. Don't forget it. New coffee table book. Great Christmas gift for foodie people.
It is, and it's available everywhere. Books are sold on Amazon.com.
Barnes & Noble, and also all the local, you know, Garden District, Octavia, Maple Street.
And if you listen to this outside New Orleans, you can get it on the usual internet spots.
Yeah, go on Amazon and go on.
You get more than
0.01
cent for that, I assume.
And you can also check out the Meanwhile back at CafeDuMonde.com.
Meanwhile, back at CafeDuMonde.com. We have a link to that on our site
and
as well.
And my tweet is tweet.
What is it?
It's at back Cafe Du Monde.
At back Cafe Du Monde. Got it. Okay. Craig Giesecke. Did I get it right?
Giesecke.
Oh, shit.
Come on, Grant.
Oh, so close
God
that time,
damn it,
too.
Grant.
Craig Giesecke. Thank you so much for joining us.
Just Craig.
Thank you for joining us, Craig.
I look forward to seeing where you go next after Ross's.
And do you still have it happen soon? So do I. Well, we'll mention it here for sure. Do you still have the boat?
No, I do not.
Because he sold it.
Thank you for taking my advice and selling your boat.
I sold it because I needed the money.
Exactly.
And our happy hour troubadour, Andrew Duhon, thank you so much for coming back.
Good to be back.
To see us.
I'll be back next time.
Okay, come on back anytime, and we've heard the name of the new album.
Perhaps.
That's exciting. We'll see.
Titular.
We'll see if it holds up. Our show is produced today by Melinda Hawes, Graham DePonte, Trish Kaufman, and Danush Karun with assistance. Oh, no, we didn't have any assistance from anyone today. That was from last week. Our associate producer and technical director is Chris Kehoe. Christian Unruh is our music director. Our link to the real world and web designer is Dr. Cliff Brigden. Mitch Foreman is currently playing the song that he wrote. We call it our theme. If you'd like to be on our show and you can stay upright for approximately an hour, drop us a line. Our address is on our website. Our show is recorded live at the fabulous Collins Hotel, a great place to come and have a drink or stay if you're coming to New Orleans. On our website, itsneworleans.com, you can check out our other shows, including Out to Lunch with Peter Raschuti, live from Commander's Palace, Mindset with psychiatrist Dr. Nick Pajic, True to the Game with Chris True and Tammy Nelson, and Win Win, our show about the New Orleans Vietnamese community. Please keep up with us, would you? By liking It's New Orleans on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, and you can sign up for our mailing list at our website, itsneworleans.com. If you happen to be listening to this on iTunes, thanks for subscribing, and take a minute to rate and review us. It'll help other people find us. Happy Hour is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com. For Mitch Foreman on piano, and everyone sitting around the table here and back at our office, I'm Grant Morris. Thank you for joining us on Happy Hour. We'll see you next time.